And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Breeders and Rootworkers, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a few moments. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Nice to hear your
ma'am.
Voice.
Thank you.
Well. What a day it has been. We're actually turning the corner at Lucky Mojo in catching up on back orders.
Yay.
I know that Ms. Leslie Lowell won't believe this, and she's probably going to hear her name called. Yes, you, Leslie Lowell, back in the office with your face turned into a little. Yes, we are catching up. Honest, we are. she's been the real one who's upset about it, because she has to field the phone calls from people who's like, where's my order? But we have turned the corner. Want to thank everybody who's been working so hard on getting us caught up. And that includes, so many people. Ernie, Russell, and Margie, Evan, Nikki, Brian, the Midnight Oil Maker, Dave, my gosh, who am I missing? Coral, Angela, Marie, Heidi, Yosei. It's been a team effort, and if I left someone out, they'll kill me later. And of course, Nagashiba even helped filling orders last night. He hasn't done that in many a year. And yours truly. So it's been quite a lot. And the folks down at the church have been helping too. They've been really working on their end of things. And so a shout out to Kelly and Lupita and Shanique. And of course, Russell doing double time at the church and Ernie doing double time at the church. So that's just been a nice group working hard. In the chat room, I just must interrupt myself. Miss Michael asks, Snartig water? Yes. Snartig water. I had written in the chat room. You know, we have a chat room for the radio show. And if you're listening to this in archive, folks, you're missing a lot of the fun. Every week, while the show is live, if you have an opportunity, log in to Blog Talk Radio. There's a whole nother stream of consciousness going on. We're operating on two levels here. And on level number two, we're talking about Snartig water. So I mentioned that I was eating cheese as we were just in the last 30-second run-up, and I washed it down with Snartig water. Well, Snartig water, Miss Michael, and one of my favorite root workers, I might add, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com, a member of AIR. Snartig water, my dear, is water that is served in a Snartig, and a Snartig is the brand name of an IKEA form of glass bud vase with little knobs all over it. You can look it up. Just go online and type in IKEA Snartig, S-N-A-R-T-I-G. IKEA names all their stuff crazy names. And I had a Snartig little bud vase that I'd had for many years, and I was always afraid I'd break it. I went on eBay, and I found out I could buy Snartigs for very cheap. I have now bought all the cheap ones. The only Snartigs that are left are expensive. Too bad. I got them all. I own all the Snartigs in America now. They are very stable, and very easy to grasp. And the good snartigs are made in Russia. The secondary snartigs are made in Poland. And now we're down to the feet of clay, the snartigs made in China. It says on the bottom where your snartig comes from.
Learn something new every day.
All right. So that was for Miss Michael. I'm sorry. I'm just rambling. But Miss Michael brought it up. There you go. So that's what the chat room is talking about. Snartig. Yes, I'm the snartig queen now. And Emma Draftness, or whatever this woman's name was, designed it. It's like the craziest thing. I mean, these names that come out of IKEA. All right. So here we are. So, among other things, I want to say hi to my co-host and thank you so much, Ali. Last week, we were not here, and Ali, as usual, held down the fort, brought together a beautiful show. Thank you so much, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. You couldn't have done it without the wonderful Madam Nadia and, of course, our great guest, Miss Elvira. I hope you guys had fun.
Oh, we did. We got to watch trains go around. You know, we were at a friend's house, a man who's getting up in years and has had a train layout for many, many years. He has two of them. One of them had a whole animated carnival that ran like Ferris wheels and things, in addition to having trains going around. It was pretty elaborate, folks. Pretty elaborate.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, a little more elaborate than I could ever hope to muster, but it was exciting to watch it. So we had a good time. And yes, thank you to Madam Nadia and to Miss Elvira. You guys do a good job, and I really appreciate it. This show has been running for 11 years now, and we could not do it without a lot of backup and helpers. So that's always nice. Now, today we have one of our fabulous friends, Kai Armand is going to be a guest. And before I bring him in, and our subject is mediumship, I just want to say something about Kai and about the group to which we belong, because something interesting happened today.
News.
Yeah, news. Yeah. This is news. So,
good news, bad news.
News. We'll just put that way.
Okay.
All right. So over on Facebook, which I know you don't get into too much, Ali.
No, it's been a while.
There are a lot of groups. These groups are Facebook groups, and some of them are closed, some of them are secret, some of them are private. They have different levels of security and whatever. One of the groups, and I don't even know if I can say the name correctly, it's Hoodoo Brujeria Santeria Conjure. It's a very long name. And it consists of people, some of them from Brazil, some from Afro-Caribbean nations, and some Americans. And it's kind of a trilingual group. Some of the posts are in Spanish, some in Portuguese, some in English. And it's a kind of nice little group, friendly, not a lot of, you know, horror stories in that group. But somebody named Vaughn, V-O-N, Nellon, N-E-L-O-N, note, not Nelson, but Nellon, posted an ad for their services. Oh, they're a powerful spellcaster and healer. Now, Ali, you know, you've been on the Lucky Mojo Forum. Does the word powerful spellcaster mean something to you? You know who
you
are.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very typical, yeah.
There is a being, an entity, that we call powerful spellcaster. And they are in Africa, and they have a phone in UK, and they spam everything they can, saying that they are a powerful spellcaster and healer. They usually use the word healer, which has a specific meaning in South African traditions, and would not be a word used by Americans, because that would leave them open to being thought to be a doctor without a license, healer. But powerful spellcaster has appeared in this Brujeria, Santeria, Conjure, whatever, Brazilio, Cuban, American Facebook group. However, what powerful spellcaster did was to take one of Kai's photos.
Oh, wow. That's bold.
Yeah. Bold and really dumb. A well-known photo of Kai's, which has been stolen before. And if you all go to the readersandrootworkers.org and go to the community portal. There's a page called Don't Be Scammed by Fake Root Workers. And it didn't take me but a few minutes. I mean, because, you know, we can update that Readers and Root Workers page pretty much instantly. I got Von Nellon named, and I have a picture, which will go up probably tonight, of their use of Kai's photo of his altar. Now, here's the thing, folks. I really want you all to be aware of this, anybody listening to this show. And thank you, Papa Newt. He just posted the link in the chat room. It's a fake psychics link. This is a real problem, and it's not like an attack on us personally. It's an attack mm-hmm. on the public. These people go around and they just take anybody's photos. Now, mm-hmm. when they use air photos, we notice it right away, and we post. And Kai was in that group and posted. But be careful, folks. Don't send your money to random people, because this person has no altar work to show. Now, I mm-hmm. checked them out. They had just joined Facebook on July 22nd, and they've already joined 39 Facebook groups having to do with magic or dating. Mm-hmm. And they're already posting this ad in 39 groups, pretending to be basically Kai Armand. Okay? Yeah, it is very disturbing. Watch out, folks. Buyer beware, and make sure you know who you're buying from when you buy a reading, root work, or spiritual products, supplies. Now, this person, Powerful Spellcaster, as I said, I happen to know that they're in Durban, South Africa, because I can check their IP address whenever they post on the Lucky Mojo forum, which is often. They've probably posted under at least 20, 30 different fake names in our forum, and we remove them every time they show up. But and they use different IP addresses. They're a little clever, not terribly clever. This character, Von Nellon, has a certain number of friends. Slim Jim is one. These friends on Facebook are just as sketchy, non-existent, and they basically like their own posts under different names, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone here said more likely West Africa. Not that I know of. This person always relates to Durban. Durban is the town that they relate to. They do have a UK address. We do get West African spammers, but this is one specific person. And this person has been around and has been spamming magical forums probably 6 years or more, maybe 8 years. Okay, just thought I'd mention it. Now, with that having been said, the guy who caught it was the guy who it was done on. So welcome to the show, Kai Armand.
Welcome, and sorry you had to deal with that.
No worries. You know, I'm really excited about the possibility of someday being the Snarctic Queen. That's stuck on that. That's like mythic. It sounds like a very Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, like a character that they left out.
The Snarctic Queen, that's funny.
The Snarctic Queen.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah.
You're always a blast to have on.
Yeah, well, so let's get without further ado, and I have to say, you must have taken a really hot photo. That photo is a photo of two people all hugged up together. Two figural candles, two pink figural mm-hmm, candles, mm-hmm. Adam and Eve candles, all hugged up together, tied together at the bosom level. Beautiful photo. It is definitely. Bait for the
yes.
scamsters.
It really is. It's. I mean, it appeals. It's an image that really, obviously appeals to what people think about and want with mm-hmm. when it comes to magic. And it wasn't. It was a magical spell done for a client with love spells. And the thing is that I just hate watermarks. I just feel like watermarks blur. You know, it's just not something I want to do. And I'd rather. You know, call someone out than, you know, put watermarks all over the images, you know?
Well, you know, and I agree with that. I'm going to tell you something, too, because when you do call them out, even though Von Nellon is obviously a fake name, but when you call them out, you burn down that name. And that's good for our clients and our potential clients. They need to know this is happening. And I don't mind being a little bit of bait and then slamming them back to the Stone Age. You know, I really don't, because I got the strength to take it. But some of my clients have been scammed for a lot of money. And so now we have another name to add to the people like Gray Mage and all these, you know, I mean, go look at that fake psychics page at AIR and you'll see.
These parasites.
They are parasites. They're criminals.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to our topic. I know this is just so funny because it's one of those weird coincidences. Here you are, the guest, and then just right before the show, this thing happens.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? Well, the topic that you brought to us is mediumship. So there is another topic that's kind of interesting because a lot of people know that scam mediumship has been a problem in the mediumship world for a long time. So some of the first exposures of fake mediums go back to the 1860s. So we know there are fake mediums, but we also know there are real mediums. And this is an interesting thing. So let's open it up. And Kai, I want you to lead into the idea of trance, mediumship, and divination. And maybe we can have a few words on the side about how to tell a real trance medium from a faker. Okay?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I brought up this topic because I'm actually about to teach an online series of classes, an online webinars will be video every week, starting at the end of this month. The class is actually called Trance, Mediumship, and Divination and Immersion. And it came to mind just because, people often think of, wanting a tarot reading or wanting a reading using a form of divination. And divination is absolutely going to play a huge part in the class. But I think that a lot of people don't necessarily realize the additional skills that people bring to their work as a diviner outside of, say, knowing the meanings of tarot cards. When we talk about the idea of clairvoyance, when we talk about clairsentience, I was just talking with the wonderful Madame Nadia just a moment ago about all of the skills that she brings in to her readings that actually have so much to do with her body and what she's sensing with her body while she's divining. And the people who know about my work know that I do perform root work, but I also perform what is popularly known as shamanic journey work for clients, in which I actually go into a deep trance state and record that trance state for clients and deliver that to them with really excellent results. So this class is going to be in some ways a survey of different kinds of trance states that are accessed around the world, as well as really learning to build applicable skills in a few trance states that one can use while they're divining using, say, a tool like tarot or on their own as well. And the other thing that really comes to mind for me when it comes to trance and mediumship is the conversation of discernment. It's obviously a huge part of this class I'm teaching.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be about people building a level of self-trust, a trust in their own abilities. But even that, I know that you, for instance, Conjurman Ali, have ways of checking yourself, ways of checking the messages that you've received. Some years back, I had a colleague who is not an AIR colleague, but a sort of friend here in New York City who was an excellent psychic, did not use tools, actually, unfortunately, poo-pooed the use of tools, which I always thought was very silly. But something he always did was, whenever we spoke, he would always say, there's this woman, she's always praying for you. She's just always so worried about you, and I'm always seeing this woman praying for you. And I'm thinking, is this a next-door neighbor? Is this a family member? And while I was friends with this person, I actually moved physical location to a new home, but he would still bring this up, and I never knew what he was speaking about, nor did I think to check in. And it was only this past year that it was made aware to me that I had an ancestor who was very, very Christian while she was alive and actually did not like my work as a hoodoo root doctor because of the faction of Christianity that she came from. And this was the person that this person was seeing,
wow.
But they did not have the discernment to be able to sense into. This isn't a human being who's alive near you. This is actually a spirit of yours, A. And B, this is a spirit of yours that it really might serve you to do something about.
Wow. Well, can I throw in something here about mediumship and gifts and tools? I'd like to say a little something about this. Those who, as you put it, you know, poo-poo the use of tools and even calling tools about divination has a kind of a snotty attitude. But I'm going to step away from that and say whatever it is you use, trance itself is a tool. It's a mind state, a body state, a spirit state, but it's not your normal waking state, so you have to induce it some way. And the use of a card or a teacup or whatever it may be doesn't make you a less of a diviner. But those who work without anything, without any kind of tools, and they can sometimes be fraudulent because they can't be bothered to memorize 78 tarot cards. And so they're the kind of people who say, I don't really know how to read tarot. The tarot speaks to me. Beware of that, because it is true the tarot may well speak to them, but it's also sometimes used as a cover. And they will say, I'm a pure psychic, meaning I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I'm just going to say some things and hope that they stick, you know. Now, I want to say one other thing. Psychic mediums can often tell what gifts another person has. And I just had an experience today. A woman came into our shop. Her name is Grace. And she is a friend of Mary Christine Bird, who is a student of mine and has taken my apprenticeship. And some of you know her. She was at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this last May. Well, this lady come in and she says that she is a reader. And she told me where she read. And she wants to... maybe expand some of her styles of reading. She said, do you have a message for me? Now, that's an amazing question, because to ask that question of a medium, you can open all, you never know what the answer is going to be.
You open up all sorts of doors.
Yeah. She goes, do you have a message for me? And I looked her right in the face, and it was like I heard a voice. And I'm not pulling your legs, folks. I heard a voice. And the voice said, and I quote, you can teach her psychometry in 30 seconds if you show her a photo. Just, ba-dum, voice said that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said to her, come with me. We went down to the church office where I have my files of some of my old clients and good clients that repeat, and I had some photos. And I said, and I'm not going to call the name, but I said to Shanique, who was in there, I said, I need the full folder or the file of Ms. So-and-so, so-and-so. I didn't find it. First, I found another one. But then I found that one. I showed it to her, and I said, look, this is a woman who had a bad divorce, had a bad husband. Mm-hmm. He has another lady. There's children. And this woman has dated about six other people, and she's shown me all their photos. So it's a very photo-rich manila folder. This lady, I showed her how to do it. I said, just put your hand over it, close your eyes, hold your hand in the air over the photo, open your eyes, take your hand away. What are they saying? Man, 30 seconds, this lady was reading photos. So one of the things I tell people is if you want to develop the gift of mediumship, talk to another medium.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's almost like, now from her point of view, it might have been like Shaktipat. You know what I mean? I just said, do this. And you'll do, but it wasn't exactly because I knew she could do it, but that's because I'm a medium, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's actually part of a tradition of mediumship, that people believe that in order to open up your own natural gift, you have to first talk to a medium, and then something happens, that sort of spiritual awakening happens. So I've heard that before, and there is a line of thought associated with it, that in order to open that up, you may be naturally gifted. You speak to another medium. I just wanted to add in here real briefly that for me, one of the things I point out is, like many aspects of magic, there is a division here. Magic and divination, there are some that can be taught and some that are more gift-oriented. Mm-hmm. Mediumship is one of the ones that I feel is a little bit more gift-oriented. And while everyone can develop some mediumistic abilities, in general, you have to have some level of aptitude for it. And this is related to your personality types, right? We mentioned in previous shows when we talk about divination styles, that some people are more inclined to the intuitive base and some are more inclined to the mathematic base. And that matters, you know. The mediumship requires a certain attunement to a type of a reading style or oracular system, an ability to kind of let yourself go or communicate on a level that, for example, someone who is more inclined to astrology may have difficulty even comprehending. Now, there are those unique cases, Kat, you're an example of this, and I believe myself and Kyle also, that straddle the lines, right, that can do both mathematic-based readings as well as these more intuitive-based. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that you mentioned that the more intuitive medium or pure mediumship, pure psychic, can be a realm of fraudulence. It can also be a realm of self-delusion. And this ties into what Kai said about checking the messages that you get. So, Pete, there are some people who are not fraudulent, but who are quite very much, lost in their own vision, so to speak. And I find that these are people who are naturally gifted, but who refuse to train or develop their abilities. And so as a result, they think that because they have the gift, they know everything there is to know about mediumship. And as a result, can give some really off-base readings because they mistake every little thought that they have as inspiration from spirit. And I think the key here is finding out, if you want to develop your medium ability, find out where your personality lies. I find that there are two types of mediumships and a whole range in between, but the two groups are ecstatic mediumship and meditative mediumship, right? Those that fall into a sleep-like trance or that lower the thoughts in the mind, those that quiet the heart, and then they can hear or see or feel or commune with spirit or even allow possession to happen in those moments. And those that are more inclined towards ecstatic mediumship, which involves singing, dancing, or raising up the kind of spirit until you kind of expand outward. So recognizing where your personality lies, where your gifts lie, are you more inclined towards divination that requires a tool or divination that's direct communication with spirit? Then, finding out whether it's ecstatic that you lean towards, meditative, and then training and practicing. Guard yourself from self-delusion. Guard yourself from thinking that every single thought you have is gold from the spirit.
Yeah, and I'm going to just throw in one two-word phrase, personal gnosis.
Yes,
beware,
yes,
personal gnosis. And those whose systems of divination, mediumship, are informed only by personal gnosis with no experience, no reputation. In other words, again, I'm speaking from the standpoint of a client. Mm-hmm. Investigate and see what's going on. I'm going to say one thing, though, about because in the chat room we're having a little side trip here about authority. Mm-hmm. Can a medium speak with authority, and how do you accept that authority? I'm more interested here, rather than in judging mediums as to whether who's the best medium, how
right.
one can receive training. And I do recognize the difference between ecstatic and logical, maybe one would call that.
Mm-hmm.
I accept that what you said, Ali, that I straddle both or embrace both. But I have to say that I use them they answer different questions.
Yes, very true.
And
yeah.
It's not so much about what's mathematical or memorized
right.
or logical versus what is immediately perceived as it is what kind of question is answered. So when I taught this woman, if taught is the right word, when I gave her Shaktipat and told her, you already know how to do psychometry, this is what it is, that's the word psychometry, now you can do it, whatever it was I just gave her, transmitted to her,
mm-hmm.
It only answers the question, what is that person thinking? What does that person have to say to you, the listener?
Mm-hmm.
It does not usually have to do with things like, will you get a job in October? It might, but it might not.
Mm-hmm.
Will you get a job in October might be better answered by Tarot, might be much better answered by astrology. So
right.
part of this
right.
has to do with fitting the form to the question. But trance can take you to places that are very far out in terms of the material that is presented would not be expected. And the woman who was here, who I, whatever I did, you know, introduced to psychometry, had already been gifted. She was just a child under the age of 8 or 9 when she had a dream of her grandfather's death, came home from school 2 or 3 weeks later. Her mother was on the phone crying, and the grandfather had died in precisely the way she had dreamed. And so that means she was already gifted. And I'm going to bring this back around to Kai. Kai, can you teach this to people?
Teach? I do believe strongly that you can teach about working with the subtle. I also believe that you can teach people how to safely enter into trance states. I think that actually people are always accessing trance states. They're just not realizing them for what they are or how to apply them to their lives or how to use them to troubleshoot experiences that they're having. I mean, we, you know, most people are dreaming every night. And then they shrug it off.
Right.
So I strongly believe that you can and that you can teach trance work. It's something that I teach people all the time, especially when I have in-person clients. And my spirits say, you know what, this is really about helping them to tap into something. And I will pull out my drum and take them somewhere. And I would also say that when it comes to self-delusion, there's, I think, an even simpler aspect of our blind spots. Knowing the type of person that you are, I'm a, you know, definitely a very bohemian person. So my, you know, when someone says, you know, I'm thinking of leaving my job, I have a, you know, thinking of leaving my job and starting my own business and traveling the world. There's some part of me that goes, yippee! But the cards might say very clearly in front of me, bad idea. Stay stable. You need to keep this job for the next 6 months. So recognizing that I have that, you know, kind of blind spot, or I have that kind of perspective on the world, I think is another huge part of being a good diviner and medium.
That's so true. There's three tips that I tell people that can help them develop mediumship, right? Like I said, I firmly believe that it's more gift-oriented, but anyone can learn some mediumship, or at least improve what they have, right? And this can lend itself quite well in other divinatory practices as well. One is keeping a dream diary. And I think this is very, very important. And I know I've repeated this on the show over and over, but it can't be overstated. Keeping a dream diary allows you to start working with the symbolic logic that your mind works, that the spirits work, and helps to kind of develop a vocabulary while keeping you tuned with that subtle realm that Kai alluded to earlier. So definitely keeping a dream diary. Most people won't remember their dreams at first, but as you consciously make an effort and intention to remember your dreams, you will begin to remember them over time, and you write them down and you'll recognize patterns. The key with the dream diary is to do it every day, do it diligently, and then to go back and check what happened during the day and during the week and see how it lines up with the symbols and messages that came up in your dream. This is a good way of checking, you know, what type of vocab comes up. I keep dreaming of cars, but maybe that means this in my life. So it's developing these certain patterns and logics while being attuned. The second for me is, because mediumship is so spirit-centric, you've got to have a strong connection to a helpful spirit. And this is very important for my work, as I tend to be very spirit-centered in the type of work that I do. While I do believe that intuition and personal psychic ability are part of mediumship, I think spirit allies and spirits of divination are important. Your ancestors are a great place to start when it comes to mediumship. Setting up an altar with your ancestors and spending time before the altar are all great ways of developing mediumship. Or if you're working in a different tradition, having a sort of spirit of divination as the intermediary between you and spirit, who can help induce trances and induce mediumship, is very useful. And the third strategy that I often tell people is to find what's a good catalyst for you. Some people need to take a bath. Some people need candlelight. some people need sounds. For example, a lot of my students are very sound-oriented, and so what I tell them is to ring a bell and then try to follow the sound of that bell into the silence. And that often helps quite a bit of my students enter into that trance state and bring on that mediation. For other people, it's not about sound. It's about certain smells. So recognizing the certain catalysts that can aid you in mediumship. And those three strategies, when put together, are really useful in developing mediumship ability and, if nothing else, developing your psychic and intuitive abilities.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. That is absolutely well said. And Kai, I want to wrap this up a little bit with some more words from you, if we may. What do you find to be the most useful techniques for a novice to use to go into a trance?
That's a really good question. I would say that if I were to break that down as quickly as possible, I would say that meditation, or at least finding some form of stillness and practicing that, is extremely helpful. For, again, coming back to what Khandraman Ali was saying, for helping to start to discern between one's own thoughts and those thoughts that may be coming from spirit with a large S, or helping spirits smaller S, to sort of begin to create that space where we are actually able to receive. I was talking to a friend last night on the train, and we were talking about how, she often, it's when she's just waking up or just going to sleep that she sees that shadowy figure sort of leaving her room, or getting thoughts from, from a, and I'm thinking, of course, because you live in New York City and we're all, about that New York minute. And those are these moments where we're restful. All of a sudden, the stillness happens, and it's not that those, spirits weren't there before, or those messages weren't there before. It's that we weren't quiet enough to receive them. We weren't in a state of mind to be available to them. So that's definitely something that we'll be approaching during this upcoming class.
Okay.
Very cool.
And how do we find out about that class? Can you post a link in, or it will just be at conjureinthecity.com, right?
Yep, it will be at conjureinthecity.com under classes.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. All right, folks.
Wonderful topic.
Yeah, great topic. So you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and here is Miss Tammy Lee.
Thank you, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your host, Katherine Ironwood, and Khandraman Ali, and this week's special guest, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com. We'll be right back, and we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello. And let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client. And our first new client is calling in from North Carolina, area code 716. This is Barbara. Barbara, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time ever being on the show, and also your first reading ever. All right, and you're right. I'm in a 4-year relationship with a manipulative person and a narcissist. He is a womanizer who is completely unbothered by his choices, and he acts as he doesn't care how his actions affect others. I've never been to a root worker for help and want advice on how to handle with him.
Yep.
All right. Wow, Barbara. Well, first of all, thank you for trusting us with your situation. First reading ever, and she's getting it done on the radio. And it's a bad situation. So first of all, let's see what we can do here to help. I'm going to ask a few more questions before we start. I always try to get a little bit more information. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Leo.
A Leo. All right. That's a pretty strong sign. And this narcissist, what sign is the narcissist?
Aries.
Aries. Nope. Oh, boy. Now, I want to just tell those of us who are astrologers, those are both fire signs.
Yeah.
And Aries is the hot, fiery one who initiates things. Leos are more faithful and loyal. They are fiery, but I can't help it. I'm just going to go there. Lions can be set up to be poached and killed. And those who listen to the show about 5 years from now will go, what are you talking about? There was a very famous lion called Cecil the Lion was killed recently, and a lot of people are pretty upset about it. Very few lions left in the wild. Lions are strong. But lions can easily be led into a trap. Now, Aries is not a bad sign by any means, and it's a good sign. They are good, but they do tend to be womanizers. Been there, done that, had one. Okay. So, I would say that if you want to stay with this person, you better have some very good reasons, because this may not be the best thing for you. All right, I'm going to read three cards, and what I'm going to do is, the question was, what can I do about this? Now, remember, the answer may not be what you want. The answer may be walk away. The answer may be stay. The answer may be do magic. Let's take a look. All right. Card number one I have here is called the Emperor. The Emperor is a Mars-ruled card, a card very much associated with fiery male energy, and is guarding what we call a rocky, barren territory. This man is well armored. He actually, this card actually is associated with the sign Aries and has rams on his throne, so it's a good card for him. But he has armor on, metal armor, hard person to get through to. He's he has taken possession of his territory and he intends to hold it. It's a barren territory. In other words, no greenery, no lushness, no gentle waters, little stream of water. He does have some spiritual energy. He's not a total jerk, but a lot of what's going on in this man's heart and life is a kind of like a deserted mountainous region. It's not homey, and it's not friendly. He's had a tough life, and he has been kind of boxed into the situation he's in, being protected and armored has served him well. It may serve him against any kind of root work that you do as well. Okay. And the man may have some natural protection built in, is what I'm trying to say. Okay. The second card is a card that tells me this may not be the easiest situation to fix. Okay. And reason I say that is, it's not one of these love, love, love type cards. The card is called Justice. Now, Justice shows a woman on a throne with a sword. Looks like you two are pretty evenly matched here. You're a strong woman. Now, this card is usually associated with Libra, but here I'm going to call it you because it seems to be a female, and it has a sword and a balance beam scale. And what I would say to this is, for you, you ought to weigh this in the balance. Is this worth it? Is this worth it? Now, may I ask, how about how old are you?
32.
I'm going to tell you right off.
I just turned 32.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I just turned 32.
Okay, I just turned 32. All right. Well, this is justice and balance would seem to indicate you might find someone better at your young age, but I'm just going to say, this is a card that says, do not seek revenge. Do not seek to harm this person or, destroy their sexuality so you can have their home life. A lot of people try to do that. But this is a card of restoring balance. It does not seem to bode too well for a relationship, but it does bode well for your personal strength, for your personal self-control and command. And also, you're a person who really does want justice. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. You don't want to be treated wrongly and have the other one get all of the goodness. You know what I mean? You're more of
yes.
a fair-minded person. And so justice says, justice demands that you balance things out here. Now, the third card is a card that tells me there is some wiggle room in here. It's a possibility that you could have some good outcome, but not a great possibility. I'm not trying to get your hopes up here, because I tell people, well, if magic's going to work, do this, do that, the other. But the card I have here is the Seven of Wands. Now, this card shows a person on a hill fighting off some six people coming up from below.
Mm-hmm.
What we call this card the card of perpetual attack, or the Mexican standoff, meaning you can never win, you can only have a standoff, like the Mexicans and the Americans did during the Mexican-American War, where they each stood on either side of the Rio Grande River and yelled at each other. It's a Mexican standoff. What that means is there isn't a lot of room here for you to win.
Okay.
This person may do this again. In other words, you may be facing repeated... You could tie them up and bind them up and do a spell on them, but it would come back again. They would be doing the same thing again. So
okay.
That's what I see. That's how I read it. Let me pass this over to Kai and see what Kai has to say.
So I have a question here. What do you do for work, and what does this other person do for work?
I'm a dietary aide. I work in a nursing home, and he's a barber. He cuts hair.
Okay, that makes so much sense here, because... especially for an Aries man, I get the King of Wands card sort of for understanding this man. The King of Wands is a man who's debonair, a fire card, so it also makes sense that he is, I'm not surprised that he is self-employed looking mm-hmm. at this card. I have to agree with Ms. Kat, the sort of emotional wasteland is coming up here in the Four of Cups card. He's definitely not... there's a lack of empathy, a lack mm-hmm. of kindness, definitely coming from that kind of background. But there's something, what my cards in bibliomancy keep on pointing to, is that there might be something here, and it might be, and could be the only reason you're really with this guy, about your own personal strength as well as entrepreneurship. As well as gleaning something from understanding how possibly he runs his business. Have you ever thought about running your own business? Have you ever thought about possibly going back to school to sort of build your own sort of empire?
Mm-hmm.
Those thoughts have crossed your mind? There's something here about the way he wields his will, not just when it comes to money and business, but also when it comes to community, the way he interacts with people. This is one of those kinds of situations I would sort of call a clear mirror, when there are those energies that we see in someone that are really time for us to claim. And I think that's some of those things that you might be angry about might actually be some gifts of his that you actually need to claim in your own life and mm-hmm. move forward with. The way he interacts with, community members, people on the street, the way he is able to turn his social interactions into money. Does this make any sense?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. I couldn't hear you. You had broke out.
I also turn to, in terms of bibliomancy, I turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 46, and these are words of Jesus, so we have to take them pretty seriously. And he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." This is a scripture that's about building something, that's about not paying attention to gifts and ability to build something. And that's actually what I'm seeing coming out of this. I'm seeing that there is a strength for you to claim and possibility and potential for you to claim. Romantically, I would say save yourself, But this might be one of those situations where this is really about claiming those gifts that you're seeing in someone else and moving forward with that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something here, too. That bibliomancy is interesting about, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, because I did have the justice card, which is interesting, right? So there's something here about regaining balance, a balance of power. It puts you in an interesting situation, and I'm afraid for your first reading, we're going into directions that you might not have thought were going to happen. You probably thought we were going to say, like, tie a string around a candle that in the shape of his penis, and you'll get them all roped up. But this is not what this reading is. No, I mean, well, sometimes that is what the reading is, but this reading isn't going in that direction.
Okay.
This is something more deep, I think, more deep about you. And why this womanizer has tied you up and how you need to regain your power.
Okay.
And Professor Porterfield in the chat room, and he's a very good reader. Thank you, Charles. He said, as well as not lawyering the situation. And and that's a very interesting thing, too. In other words, we're not going to be talking this thing over. We're going to be acting. Okay. Yeah. Somebody else in the chat room, Alchemical Artisan's Hour, said, wonder if he's going to go to court over something he's done. It's a possibility, very much a possibility. Justice says that justice is going to be done one way or another here. I'd like to turn this over to Conjurman Ali for some root work advice. And I think we're going to head south on this one, but that's just my thought.
Yeah, listening to the reading, I couldn't agree more. I think they're absolutely right. And in fact, I would, and pardon my bluntness to a certain degree, but allow me to be a Taurus for just a moment and say, given the readings and just the fact that you described him as a narcissist who is quite uncaring about his actions, I'm led to ask, why are you with him, right? You can do better. I don't think that you have to be, you feel like you need to be stuck in this situation. At some point, you need to ask yourself, is it worth the effort? And I don't think it is anymore. I don't think it is. Learn what you can from the situation. Learn from it. I don't think it was all bad. I think there are moments that you can cherish. But it's time to move on. It's time to heal and find love elsewhere. And so the work that I'm going to give you is, if you follow it, will allow yourself to kind of break the tie between the two of you. It's not harsh work, but it's saying, look, I'm wiping my hands clean. I don't need to be committed to someone who is not going to return that commitment. I'm not going to invest in someone who's not going to return the investment. Instead, I'm going to take my lessons, take the good, move on, and find happiness elsewhere. So what I want you to do is I want you to set up a place that you can work. This can be in your boudoir. This can be at a table, whatever works for you. You're going to have a bowl, a heat-proof bowl, and a plate. You're going to place the heat-proof bowl on your left side and the plate on the right side. You're going to take a piece of paper, and you are going to divide this paper in half. You're going to write all the good things that you desire from a relationship, all the things you've learned, all the positive things about the relationships that you enjoy, companionship, faithfulness, love. You found strength, you found courage, you found your own power on the right side of this paper. On the other side of the paper, you're going to write all the things that you are on that you find undesirable about relationships. So write down lack of commitment, a person who is too self-absorbed and too self-involved, a person who is unfaithfulness, disloyalty, all the things that you don't want. You're going to rip this paper in half. You're going to take the one with all the negatives in there. You're going to fold it up and place it into a bowl. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to then take a lemon, cut this lemon in half, squeeze a little bit of the lemon onto the paper, and then douse it with Florida water. You're then going to take scissors, and you're going to dip your hand in the lemon. You can stick it right into the lemon, and you are going to lightly run it across the blades of the scissors. Make careful, don't cut yourself. And then you're going to place these scissors open, facing towards that heat-proof bowl with all the negatives. What this is doing is it's cutting that connection and saying, you know what, it's great, we had our time together, but it's time to walk away and not look back. So you're cutting it completely out of your life. Then you're going to take the positive attributes list, or the positive list. You're going to fold that up with two red rose petals, and you're going to place this onto the white bowl. On top of it, place a Queen Elizabeth root and a pinch of violet leaves. Now, over this entire thing, I want you to pray directly from your heart, pray that your heart mends, that you're able to let go of that which holds you back, things in your life that are an anchor, bad relationships, bad qualities that you no longer need, and that you open yourself up to new love, new experiences, and a man who's truly worthy of a queen who is a Leo. You're going to then light the bowl. You're going to take a match, toss it into the bowl. The Florida water will light into this beautiful, fragrant blue flame that will burn away those negative qualities to you. Sit and watch this and pray over it. And once the flames have died out, what you're going to do is you're going to take the ashes, take it to a running water, preferably a river, and you're going to toss it into the river. You can keep the bowl, just dump out its contents, turn around, walk away without looking back. When you come back home, you're going to take that list with the Queen Elizabeth root, the rose petals, and the violet leaves, and you are going to place it into a mojo bag. Breathe into the mojo bag your prayer, calling upon the Lord to bring you happiness, a mutually reciprocal relationship that is fulfilling, that is everything that you desire and want and need. Tie up the mojo bag with three knots, feed it a bit of whiskey, and carry that on your persons as you go forth in your life. Once a week, take that mojo bag, feed it a bit of whiskey, pray over it. If you do this, I sense that you will find new love rather quickly, love that is worthy of you, and you'll be able to let go of this rather parasitic relationship and move on with the right lessons and right mentality for your future. That's what I have to say in a situation like this.
Okay. Thank
wow.
you.
All right. Well, that was a pretty great variant of an old type of spell called a cut and clear spell. Okay. And I'm sorry, ma'am, it was not what you asked for, because I know you asked for how to manipulate this person and win, but the answer seems to be, and the card showed it, and the root work that was inspired to be told to you was time to go. And take what you can and leave the rest. And there is good that came out of this relationship, but 4 years is enough. You will not be able to rule and control this person in the way that that you might have hoped we would teach you. But instead, take from the relationship all of the things that you loved and cared for, and ask for them in your next relationship. Leave behind all of the idiocies, the manipulation, the taking you for granted, and the narcissism. Burn it. It will not come back in your next relationship. So
Thank you. Long path
ahead of you, but good luck to you, hon. And if you need
any more help, just
call, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you. All right, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with Contraman Ali and me, Kat Ironwood, and our guest, Kai Rahman.
Y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. And our next caller is calling in from Nova Scotia, Canada. This is 902 area code. Megan, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the radio show and that you have not yet been to any members of AIR yet with regard to your situation. And she writes, My relationship of nearly 3 years ended due to concerns about commitment and how serious it was. But less than a week after the fact, he is already claiming to be falling for someone else. I've already started a honey jar for him to try and sweeten him to me, but he just seems to be picking fights and being standoffish with me. I've tried to be diplomatic and sweet to him, not getting angry and cursing and swearing at him, but I fear that he is retreating away from me, even as friend. My initial reading said that I'm on the right track and not to close the door just yet, that my efforts would be successful, but after he recently got angry with me, I want to ensure that nothing has changed. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Okay, I'm going to read just the rest of this that was edited out, I think. I saw signs within 3 days of starting my jar. However, hints at his last name, his nickname came up in my reading. I've been seeing his first name around the internet, though he hasn't been at my place for a while. I keep finding strands of his hair on me or in my bed. Even saw one of mine crossed over his near my pillow. When was the last time you saw him, hon?
Literally this time last week.
This time last week.
Yeah.
So, the relationship ended. Now I'm gonna be blunt here, and I hope I don't embarrass you. Are you having sex with him still?
No.
No. Okay. And
we haven't seen each other for a week.
All right. And then it says my relationship ended. How long ago did the relationship actually end?
A week ago, so on Sunday.
Okay, so all this is brand fresh new.
Brand fresh new.
And you went to a reader in Halifax, Nova Scotia, who said there was a possibility. Don't give up just yet. Just keep on working at this thing, and you still have a possibility. Okay,
yes.
First of all, I'm going to say that reader was wise. I tell people never give up until 3 months have passed. Unless I get really, really, really bad signs in the reading. I had an old teacher who said, never give up for 1 month, and after that, you better do some more readings. But so that was wise advice. Okay. Now, let's have Contraband Ali do the reading and see what we get.
We certainly have a trend of sorts appearing in our calls. Lots of reconciliation and difficult relationships. So I've pulled 3 cards here, and I'm going to go over them. The very first card that I have is the Two of Pentacles. The Two of Pentacles shows us a very difficult situation that you're trying to balance. You have a figure here juggling two pentacles as they balance on one leg. There's a lot of back and forth between this relationship, and a lot of bad decisions that are being made. Value is being put in the wrong thing. On his end, he's putting value in a very new relationship over a relationship with you. On your end, you're putting quite a bit of value, probably more than it's worth, in him. When this card comes up, I'm often led to ask that you be careful that you do not attribute your affections towards the idea of the relationship rather than the reality of the relationship. And that is a very important aspect of this, that you acknowledge that there are all bad sides of this relationship, that he's made mistakes, you've made mistakes, and that this relationship may not necessarily be the ideal one to recover or reconcile with. Now, that doesn't mean you can't sweeten him or draw him back to you. The next card we have is the Emperor. Interestingly enough, a card that came up earlier in the show. And I read this card very similarly to lovely Miss Cat. This is an older man sitting on the throne. This is a man who is not exactly, it's not a card that I call love card in any way, shape, or form. It's armored, it's cold, it's barren, and it does indicate a great deal of guardedness when it comes towards you. His walls are up, and he is ruling from on high, and he is seeing you from a distance. While cerebrally he recognizes some of the good aspects of the relationship with you, emotionally he's not on the same level with you. I would not be diplomatic with him. I would not be friendly with him. I would give him space a little bit. The more you seem to try to wiggle your way back in or be friendly, the more it may backfire to a certain regard. Now, you should be open towards him. You should be friendly when you do interact, but don't actively pursue him. You might want to wait a little bit and soften him up with magic first and foremost. Now, this may seem counterintuitive, but this card always says, hold on, there's time for distance, there's time for space here. The final card that I have here is the Page of Wands. Now, this is clear. This is not a card of reconciliation. This is not a card of you two getting back together, but it is offering some hope. I do sense that you two will reconnect, that you two will speak once more, that all has not been finished, that communication will happen between the two of you, and it is possible to have some type of friendship. The only thing I would say is that you might want to set your expectations accordingly, that this is a case where it may be that all the root work that you do is on the right track, that it warms him up towards you, that it softens him up towards you, and it causes him to return, but return more as a friend than as your partner for life. I don't see a resumption of the previous relationship happening in the near future. So I'm not saying give up all hope, but I am saying that there are some complications here that will stand in the way of you two getting back together as lovers. Perhaps more likely that you will have some type of friendly association. So that's what my cards are telling me here. I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues to see what they can add, what further insights they can share.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So, Kai, what would you like to add to this as a reader?
I'm seeing very similar energies to the ones that Conjurman Ali saw in his reading. I don't have the Emperor here, but I have the King of Swords, another card that speaks to a man with walls up, a man who's being resistant, a man who is sort of telling himself that he's choosing a logical route and making some kind of new decision. And I see you working very diligently and very heartfully here in the Eight of Coins card. You know, you've already begun some root work, you've contacted another spirit worker besides ourselves, and you've come on the show. You're obviously attending to this with a certain level of dedication that is, I applaud you for. I fully understand that. However, like Conjurman Ali, I'm not seeing that heavy effort here is necessarily going to result in what you're wanting, nor that it really serves you necessarily to even put your attentions there, because in the future what I'm getting here is the Page of Cups card. The Page of Cups, even though it's a card that has to do with emotions, it's a certain there's a certain immaturity about the Page of Cups. It is not fruit. It is not a well-developed relationship. The Page of Cups is not two adults meeting eye to eye and heart to heart and loins to loins. In fact, when I see the Page of Cups, it can sometimes represent being given the runaround, being sort of left in an emotional limbo where you're constantly experiencing hopefulness, but finally sort of finding yourself to have those hopes dashed. What is positive here that I see is that there is a possibly more well-suited lover coming to you in the future. Both the Lover's card and the Justice card are pointing at this. This might be you being ushered away spiritually from a less than wonderful situation into something that will actually be more satisfying for you soon.
All right.
Okay.
So it's been pointed out in the chat room, and I want to give a shout out to all our good chat friends, that we are, at the time that this show is live, in a time of Venus retrograde.
We got
two readings basically on the same type of situation, the same type of outcomes, and even some of the same cards have shown up in four different readings here from two different readers. So we're going to christen this one the Venus Retrograde Show. Now, for those who don't know astrology, Venus is the planet that rules love. And retrograde means that as seen from Earth, the planet seems to be moving backwards with respect to its normal course of action. It's not really moving backwards. It's just a question of the angle at which we're viewing it. But that's a whole story for astronomy and astrology. What it means in terms of activities is that love affairs go backwards during Venus retrograde times. If you have a solid relationship, if everything is going very well, not too much problem. But if you have a relationship that has issues, they do tend to get worse during a time of Venus retrograde. So Venus retrograde is also not a good time to start a new love affair. You want to clean up the old mess, clean it away, let it fall by the wayside, and then start over again.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I'm going to give you some spell work. Now, I could give you virtually the same spell that Ali gave to our earlier caller, which is a cut and clear spell, which is, and go back and listen to that part of the show, because that applies to you equally well. But I'm going to give you a different spell, because there are many ways to skin a cat, as they say. And there are many ways to move beyond a situation that is not advantageous for you in terms of commitment. First of all, you are doing a honey jar on this person. That's fine, but the person is very armored, as we've heard. My feeling is this. You can make a date. I would make a date after which I will no longer do the work. Now, we're not saying the work you've done has failed, but sometimes work does fail. It's just not going to work. You did go to a reader who said that don't give up hope yet, and that's very good. So I would say set yourself a time. Sit down for a moment and think about how long is it going to be? Will I work for this for a year? I hope not. Will I work for this for 3 months? Well, that may be average. Will I work for this for a month? Or, you know, hey, this was a breakup, and I'm going to work for this until the end of August, and then I'm done. Whatever it is, you're going to look at this. And it is a relationship of nearly 3 years. I tell people, don't be working the same amount of time off as you had on. I mean, don't be working 3 years for this. And depending on your age and how deep the relationship was, 1/10 is good. But, you know, you can't, if it's a 10-year marriage, people will usually work at least a year before they really give up. But my feeling is, and not to downgrade the relationship you had for 3 years, but you'll find a number, and I doubt it'll be more than 3 months. That's just my thought, okay?
Okay.
Now, once that time has passed, if nothing has come to pass, take that honey jar, and I want to teach you how to dispose of it and do something else, all right? I want you to take that honey jar that you did, and don't just throw it down the trash, and don't just throw it in the, you know, in the garbage. I want you to take that honey jar and take it to some place where there is live natural water, preferably running water, a river, an ocean, an estuary, something like that. A lake will do if you have nothing else, but I want you to take that honey jar to a body of water, even a pond in a park, and I want you to open up that jar and scoop it out with your hands. Literally, get your hands in that honey and say, I did this for love and for love only, and now I give that love back to the world. Okay? This is the love I have. And where this water runs, let my sweetness run. Where this water runs, let sweetness be felt and found and come to me. It's like, you know, casting your bread upon the water and return to you. That's the kind of thing you're going to be doing. Anything having to do with this person that's in that honey jar, let it go too. And no punishment, no harm, no anger, just let it go. And say, all right, I'm going to let this work go now. When you've done rinsing it out, take the jar and the lid back. You're not going to want to be polluting a waterway with that jar and that lid. Take it on home. Wash your hands off in that water and say, now, all the world knows how sweet I am. All the world knows how sweet I am, how desirable, how loving, what a good person I am. Let my sweetness touch somebody now. And let, even if it just touches somebody who never will meet me, let them have a little bit of the sweetness that I have to bring to the world. Now I want you to take that jar back home. Okay, let it dry naturally. Just dry it out. You can wipe it dry with a paper towel if you wish to. And but don't throw that jar away just yet. Okay. Now I want you to use that jar to make yourself some baths. Okay. So you have this jar that you had the honey in, whether it's a baby food jar or a big jar, however big it is. And I want you to get some of the following ingredients. I want you to get some dried rose petals, or fresh if you have them. I want you to get a little bit of sugar, not honey now, but sugar. I want you to get little bit of some catnip, some Damiana, and I hope someone's writing this down in the chat room, okay? And that would be Papa Newt, my friend. Okay. And I want you to get, you could use a little bit of some juniper, cubeb berries, any kind of thing that attracts love or luck. And you're going to make yourself a little jar with this, and you're going to stir them up all together in that jar. Now, I'd like you to get a little muslin bag. And the muslin bag that you use, it could be, you know, the kind that people use to brew tea in or bath tea. And you're going to put all of those things in the bag. So, he's made a list, Papa Newt, rose petals, catnip, Damiana, cubeb berries, sugar, right? Okay. You can put juniper berries, too, if you want. And you're going to take that bag, scoop out some of that in that bag from that jar. No matter how big the jar is, just scoop some of it out. And I want you to get some water and just dip that bag in water and bring it to a simmer and let it just simmer a little while. And that'll make a little bit of a tea. I want you to add that tea to the bath. Now, if we were going to do it the Country Benali way, you're going to add some milk to that bath. And why not? A little bit of milk to make it a smooth bath. But you don't have to add milk if you don't like the idea of milk on your body. And I want you to bathe in that and think about new love coming to you. Divide that up at least into three baths, okay? At least. It depends on the jar. See, I don't know how big your jar is. If you have a quart jar, you're going to be making a lot of baths. If it's a baby food jar, you're going to skimp to get three baths out of it. But I want you to take three baths using that stuff. The ingredients that you scooped out and brewed, don't throw them out. I want you to take them out in your front yard or near where you live, and I want you to scatter them all around on the sidewalk or in the street when people may not be looking, and say, now, let all who walk through this know how good I am at love and come to me, and wherever they walk, let them carry the message of my love for someone, and someone will hear this and come to my house. So some people say scatter at a crossroads. That's okay. Scatter in your front yard, wherever it's going to be, but you want it to be where someplace where people walk, okay? And it'll, you know, just stick to them. That is what I would recommend to you. And I have to say that there's many other ways you can do it, but that's the way I would do it.
Does that's anybody a great way of working.
Yeah. Does Kai, do you have anything to add to this?
I don't think I can add anything to that. That is so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. That is just beautiful.
All right. How about you, Ali? You got anything else but praise?
No, I was just going to say it was so fantastic and so fitting. It's the type of work that really taps into that Venusian Tauran energy that you need in a situation like this. It's simple, it's straightforward, but powerful and meaningful. And I think it's exactly what you need in this case.
Yeah. And then okay. I would also say, too, watch your astrology signs. You can find out online. I would start those baths when Venus turns direct.
Yes.
Don't do those baths while Venus is retrograde. Just sit around and grieve and mourn while Venus is retrograde. As soon as it turns direct, get yourself cleaned up, okay?
Okay.
All right.
It's also a good time to pamper yourself, I think.
Yeah, pamper yourself. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Wow. Well, let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee. This was the Venus Retrograde episode of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Workout.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Manali, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And y'all, now it's time for our free spell section with Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com, and he's in Brooklyn, New York. And Kai, turning it over to you.
Thank you so much, and it's so wonderful to be on the show. Thank you again for having me. Today's spell is yet another exploration of spiritual, psychic, and mediumship gifts. So what I would suggest doing is creating some sort of sacred space for yourself for this spell. I would suggest brewing a tea of an herb that's, or plant that's known especially for helping with psychic abilities, such as Althea root, star anise, and a seed, dandelion root. One or a combination of these would be truly lovely. When it comes to ingesting plants, you might want to, you know, check to make sure that that's going to be fine and safe for you, healthily. And what you're going to do is you're going to light a white candle, and you're going to call in your ancestral helping spirits, any other helping spirits that walk alongside you, because what you're doing right now is you're going to be divining with them using the tarot on some of your own gifts. So where does it really best serve you to put some of your attention when it comes to your gifts in terms of psychism and root work? So after lighting that white candle, having your tea and drinking it, sort of creating good sacred space for yourself, you're going to, again, using tarot, draw one card for yourself. And this card, you're asking, show me one form of divination or mediumship that I am especially suited for. And after you pull that card, you're just going to really meditate on that card and have a little pad next to you and write down all of the words you associate with that card. Or you might be led immediately to, oh, wow, I never thought that I should be doing automatic writing, as this Ace of Swords is very clearly pointing me toward. or, you know, there are even cards in the tarot that, you know, we sort of fear and want to run away from. But in an exercise like this, really might have a really deep meaning. I think that if you might pull the Ten of Swords card in this moment, that might mean that you are especially suited for sort of very deep trance work, really deep trance work that kind of borders on the line between life and death. There are forms of trance work that do that. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to put that card back in your deck, and you're going to shuffle your deck, and you're going to pull three cards. And this question you're going to be asking of your helping spirits is, show me three forms of spell work that I am especially talented for. So you might pull the Temperance card, and this might mean that you're especially talented for doing work of peace and reconciliation. You might pull the Knight of Coins, and that might mean that you're especially talented at helping move people through difficult blocks, or even working with talismans and mojo hands, as the coins suit often leads root workers to explore as a form of remediation. So that's my exercise for you. I hope that it is helpful, and do enjoy it afterwards. Obviously, thank your helping spirits for their wisdom and advice, and go out and explore that form of divination and root work that you might not have previously considered.
That is really, really, really cool. Now,
I love
it. In the chat room, we missed that list of herbs for the tea, so give it to us again.
Sure. One could use Althea root. One might make a tea using working with star anise or anise seed, dandelion root as well. These are all excellent plants that, as far as I'm concerned, I believe are imbibable.
Yes.
And this is to sort of, you know, one could burn these as an herb or wear them as an oil. I think this is the perfect exercise for drinking them as a tea to sort of create that sacred environment inside yourself as well.
Got it. Okay, we got the list, and Papa Newt will post the links. Thank you so much. There goes Papa Newt with the links. I knew he would. Thank you, Papa Newt. So I love this, and I'm going to add a couple of points here. That if you are interested in using card readings for understanding spell work, Madam Nadia taught a class on this at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival a year before this last year, and we have a flyer on this. And it will be in the next book we put out, the red folder. But she has links to or concepts for every Lenormand card and every Tarot card and every playing card for the kind of spell work. It's about how to use divination to turn you toward your spell work. It's a great little flyer. You can ask for it if you place an order at Lucky Mojo. It's Madame Nadia's flyer. There is something along the same lines, but entirely different, in the book A Deck of Spells by Professor Porterfield. And he also talks about spell work vis-a-vis cards. And the red folder does not exist yet. So readings by Evan in the chat room. No, it doesn't exist yet.
It will.
In the red folder, right now all we've got is the black folder. We accumulate these flyers, teaching aids from the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which is held in May of every year. And Madame Nadia gave a great, great talk on this. And it was that has been preserved in the form of a free flyer. If you order, ask for that flyer, Madame Nadia's flyer. Okay? Dia Job asked, is the red folder love spells? No, just the color of the folder. The black folder is the one we got first, and it's not hatred spells either. It's just black, that's all. These are named after the color of those little report folders like you have in school. They come in different colors, black and red.
I've read the flyer by Madame Novia, and it is fantastic. It's quite comprehensive, and it also is a springboard for you yourself to start associating cards with different types of works and divination yourself. I love this recommendation also by Kai. I really do. I'm a big fan of teas, and I love that it can be used. I wanted to ask, could these teas also be used to, for example, create some type of rub for various divination tools? Some people who use crystal balls, for example, may be able to wash the crystal ball in the tea, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'm nonstop devouring Professor Porterfield's A Deck of Spells, and there are some excellent spells in this book for increasing psychic abilities and creating and working with both tarot cards and playing cards to create powders and various other tools for anointing your cards with, etc. This book is truly a resource that I believe sort of is right in alignment with such a working.
Yeah, it's a good resource. And those of you who do read cards and use the cards to basically divine the type of spell work will know how powerful this is. For a newcomer who wants to know what form of divination would be best suited for them that they are not practicing now and what three forms of spell casting they should investigate. Wonderful, wonderful tip, Kai, from a master, and you are a master. All right. Well, we're coming up on our end music, and so now it's time to say goodbye with Tammy Lee.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Kai Ramond of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Valentina Burton of ValentinaBurton.com in Dallas, Texas. And her topic will be Major Tom's La Lotteria Cards. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available on archive live via LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jugman playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Ms. Tammy Lee. A couple of quick announcements. Number one, Kai does have a book out. Chat room people are asking.
Yes.
It's called Deliverance.
Love it.
Look it up. And Madame Nadia said, and she's right, in the black folder, Miss Bree did a thing on spell work for love using tarot cards.
Right.
But it's only about love spells with tarot cards, and it's a really good little resource, too. So thank you, Nadia, for sharing the glory with your friend, Miss Bree. All right, folks. That's a last-minute catch-ups here. Kai's book, Deliverance, is about uncrossing, healing, and moving past blocks. Lovely book. All right, well, we'll be back next week, and we just have time, really, to say goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks so much, everyone. Good night. Have a great night.